Can I start by asking you a question? When have you seen the film?
How many times?
No, when?
Well, brilliant as I was, I missed it in Cannes.
Okay, well, and, it happens.
If you miss that one screening, you're fucked, unless you find a screening on the Rue d'Antibes.
Yes.
You know. And uh-huh. I didn't hear about one. Was there one?
I don't know. I know that they had, I think, a couple of screenings for the press.
Couple?
Yes, I think so. I think okay. There were, but it was very much at the beginning.
Yeah, there was the one at the big Lumiere.
Yes, yes.
Which I wanted to get to.
That one, I think, was one of the best for us. It's very hot. And this one is working. I don't know why it's so hot. And then, I don't know about the I think we had a couple of screenings in the festival, but I don't know.
Right. So, brilliant as I continued to be, I missed it in Toronto.
Okay.
Brilliant.
But in Toronto, it's
I told crowded. Susan Norgut, you know, I said, I'm definitely going to see the Romanian abortion film. Campuses.
Yes.
She said, well, you'll definitely, I said, I'm there. Missed it. Several weeks later, I finally saw it here, and I absolutely.
But have you seen it on screen, on big screen, or on
a
screen?
On big screen.
Okay, on a big screen. Okay, thank you.
First screening, mm-hmm. you should keep this in mind, the Raleigh Studios mm-hmm. has bad masking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Romania, 1987, was below the masking and you couldn't read it.
This is a big problem. This is the only thing that I talk about whenever I have a presentation of the film.
Yeah.
I'm aware that this is happening from time to time, and we absolutely need to avoid this in the
general release.
General release, because it's too important an information.
Just put it right in front on a black screen or something.
It's
before
on
the
yes,
starts.
It's on. Yeah, well, I don't want you. And we thought a lot about using or not using even this very loose indication about the period. Because it's obvious, for example, for somebody in Eastern Europe that it's during the communist times. But we thought that it's not that obvious if the film is going to be released in Asia or the States, for example, and it's...
I know that you have the visual sense of a director who just doesn't believe in putting titles, voiceover. It's very, very pure. That's what I love about it, first and foremost.
And we decided, for example, not to pass any comment, not even in the film about the period and never to mention words like communism or comrade or whatever, because I think this is too much cliche nowadays. There were too many films about this and what about this nostalgia, about what we can still remember. It's not about this, my film.
Whenever you see any film in which the character begins to say dialogue, which you know full well is just exposition,
yes,
you go, oh, here we go.
But this is it. This is the feeling. It's that here you go kind of feeling that I wanted to avoid. I don't like this kind of filmmaking where you were not enough a good writer to pass information in a different other way. And I'm only trying to make a story that doesn't need this kind of information. Right?
That very first big scene in On the Waterfront, Marlon Brando and Lee J. Cobb, you know that film?
Called On the Waterfront. I think I've seen it on TV at some point.
And the second scene is just like 12 minutes of exposition. Here's what we're doing. Here's who we have been. You know.
Yes.
God. Anyway,
well,
that's over.
Yeah.
So here's the thought. I know that, but the fixed static camera mm-hmm. angles, which are not dominating the film, but they are very present, very mm-hmm. present, did not appear to be on a tripod where they are all handheld. Is that true?
Yes, but it... We decided not to use a tripod, but not to use a Steadicam, because we thought a tripod is very conventional and a Steadicam is too smooth and too beautiful, and we wanted to avoid being beautiful and spectacular with this film. So we either used handheld or we discovered this device which is called EasyRig.
EasyRig.
R-I-G. And yes.
Rig.
Yes. And it's a device that will allow the operator to have the camera in front of him, the cameraman, mm-hmm. and it's a thread, and the camera hangs on something that is attached to him like this, on a harness, and it's a very, if you want, natural way of just having the camera in front of you. You would feel that somebody is walking and breathing, And this is what we use for the whole picture. And we try to be very coherent with the style of shooting and follow all the time the inner state of mind of the main character. This is why, for me, the camera is more still at the beginning, because she is calmer and because the situation is calmer. And in the second part of the film, when there's a lot of tension and she walks around and she climbs stairs and you feel this kind of adrenaline that flows through her, the camera will start to match this kind of state of mind and follow her and her state of mind. Because what we wanted to do, and I insisted on this, is that I wanted to tell the film from the perspective of somebody living then, not from my perspective 20 years after when I know what had happened. Because it's a different approach. From her perspective, in the last half of the day, everything could have happened. And this is what we wanted to render, you know?
I was just thinking that when I came out of it the first time, I was so moved and touched, but I'm aware of the whole historical context. Those listening to the interview who do not know, the film takes place in 87, and it is part of a period which began in 1966 and ended with the overthrow of the Ceausescu regime in 89, in which there was a mandatory law that forbade abortions, except, was there any exceptions?
It was mothers having already four children, or okay, women after the age of 45 mm-hmm. were accepted from this, but mm-hmm. you know, it was unconceivable during that period to imagine that you could raise more than one or two right. children, so it was...
But so obviously the import of it that I think many people will justifiably get is that it's about the in the social context, it's about the horrific circumstances under which these two women, the one woman in particular, tries to get a black market abortion. But what I came away with, and I'm speaking as a pro-choice person, I came away with a deep loathing for the very practice of abortion. And I would think that those who are pro-life, who are on the conservative side, the Bible Belt Americans, would see a film that understands or, you know, gives support to their... do you feel that way, or is that just me?
Well, actually, I wanted very much the film to just stay a film and to tell a story and not become a political instrument of any sort. And
that's
the most
profound thing, though. It really does sink into you.
What I think and what I hope from the beginning is that the film will speak about a very complex situation and will speak about something which I think it's really very important and everybody should have an opinion on, but will just use as a way of triggering your personal opinion in connection with your own beliefs and with your own background. I don't think in that kind of filmmaking that will pass on you somebody else's wisdom and a conclusion. I don't think films should do this. And this is why, for example, the same film is perceived in different countries either as a film pro or against abortion, which is very strange for me, because I never started by wanting to make a film about abortion itself. For me, it's mostly a story about human relationships and about having to take the responsibilities of your decisions, and mostly about understanding something from what happens to you.
Right.
If there is any message attached to the film, I like to think that this is the message. But this way of having the film very balanced from this perspective makes it a film about freedom for lots of people and about solidarity and about friendship. And I enjoy this thing because I was trying to respect the complexity of life without having a message written down on words from the beginning. I don't believe in this, because I hope that if you respect this, you're going to have a film which is very layered and speaks about a lot of things at the same time.
Having not seen your film in Cannes, I was rooting for my personal favorite, which I had seen, which was the Coen brothers, No Country for Old Men. And I presumed, although I heard nothing but ecstatic things from my critic friends, but I presumed that your film won because it strikes a particularly strong chord with women. And how could it not? And that Toni Collette and the people on the jury obviously were moved by it more than anything else. Did you ever hear anything after the fact about the political back and forth, about the discussions, about
that? Actually, the only thing that I heard afterwards was that it wasn't too much a debate, and they decided quite easily, and they decided the award starting from the Palme d'Or going downwards.
Oh, really? There wasn't any big...
It wasn't any big debate, but I really can't say what on particular impressed them. I just tried to make the film, and as honestly as I could.
Right.
And I don't know, it was...
I love that you shot, by the way, in 2.35. Now that, one might think, why 2.35? Why not just, you know, 1.66?
Yeah.
What's the standard aspect ratio in Romania? Central era?
Normally it's 1.33. It's TV.
Really?
Yes, yes. This
is
the most common.
Is that what the aperture plates are, 1.33?
You can get in the cinema whatever kind of, I don't know how to say this in English, cachet you want.
Yeah.
But normally this is the most used ratio. But we really wanted to make this on 2.35 because we wanted the story of the girls to be in the foreground, in front of the camera, and in front of the spectators all the time, but still to have a background that would talk a lot about the period and about the atmosphere.
Mm.
And we wanted to, and we abstained from having what we could remember from the period become the subject of the film. But still, if you watch it, you get a feeling and a sense about how it was to living in a communist country during that period, from the small scenes and this kind of abuse of authority of everybody on these girls, but also continuing with the things that we placed in terms of image and in terms of production designing and in terms of objects and in terms of lighting.
You know, I felt as much as, I'm sorry, I forgot the lead actress of the blonde, I've forgotten her character.
That's
name.
All right, Otilia.
I felt, forgot, as much as her boyfriend was revealed as a somewhat selfish, maybe more than somewhat selfish guy, maybe who wasn't all that great a boyfriend, I felt that she never gave him a chance at all. She could have just said, this is happening. I trust you. Can you help us in some way? Because this is serious. She's not going to, you know... Whether you approve of illegal abortion, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And you're in love with me, suppose. So are you going to help or not? But she never even let him in.
But this is why I don't see him as selfish, to be honest. He's clueless. He doesn't have any idea what's going on. So he can't necessarily be more supportive than this.
Mm.
But at the same time, his attitude shows, for me, the limits of somebody relating to the subject in that society that we were living in.
Mm.
Because of the education and because of the limits of the society, we were only considering abortion as a practical thing.
Mm.
And boys were all the time trying to be as supportive as to like pay for this or help their girls get away with it without being caught. But for example, what I find troubling today is that none of us were considering having these children, just considering at least, or what were the consequences of on the long term about, you know, having so many abortions in that country. And this is what I like about that scene very much, that the kind of society, and which is very paternalistic and very conservative in which we were living, wouldn't allow her to talk to him about this, because he might have been supportive if he didn't know that he had to sleep with that guy, otherwise he wouldn't have been supportive. But at the same time, you know, these were the limits. She couldn't talk about this. Normally he was as helpful as he could in the situation, but he didn't have the information that he needed. And this is why, you know, made all these girls be alone.
It's a damning thing when after she has told him, and she has to go back, she just has to go back, all that tension. He says, you know, you're embarrassing me by leaving without, you know, I mean, that's all about him. That's not a very flattering thing on his part.
Try to think about the characters from their subjective point of view and considering what kind of information they're having. So as a spectator, you know what happened.
Mm.
If you place yourself in his shoes, he doesn't have any kind of clue.
Right.
What does he know? That he talked to this girl at noon and she was supposed to come at 5 a.m. with flowers, and apparently she showed up at 7 a.m. and she's not very nice to him and she refuses to talk about what happened to her. So I like very much all the time to respect this kind of subjective truth of the character.
Speaking of which, I'm going to see it a third time soon. at the AFI Film Fest.
Yes.
Which is, what is that, tomorrow
I
night?
Think it's one screening is on Saturday evening and the other one is on Monday afternoon or something like this, Monday evening.
Saturday afternoon or night, you know?
I don't know, but I think it's 7 p.m. tomorrow or something like this. Yeah. Should be something like this.
Is that, maybe I missed this, but I've been studying it, is that the dark haired girl, the woman who's actually pregnant, excuse my forgetful.
Yeah, that's all right. Her name is Gabica in the film.
What about her engaging or bringing on the guy who impregnated her? Is that ever discussed? Did I miss that?
No, you didn't. Right. You never missed this because this is one of the decisions that were taken in the screenplay from the beginning. Only to show the things which are relevant for this story. Mm. While for me this would have been a form of polluting and making all very relative. This story is not about what that guy was responsible about. It was about how they related to the subject.
Oh, I appreciate
and that. About how they reacted in a situation like this and about how much they meant to each other in that context.
Well, it comes through obviously that she's not the most brilliant person. And I get and without you saying a word, it's clear that she's probably not having the greatest amount of luck in finding a quality person. And it's just like the way you do not show at all any of the sexual interplay between the black market abortionists who demands their sexual favors as a price. It's very, very moving. The things that are not shown are actually more powerful than when you show them.
This is what I thought, that you need to show in the film the things which are more powerful when you see them and not to show the things which are more powerful when you imagine them.
Right.
And this is why I made this choice. And I very much wanted to avoid moving the stress of this film from a film about what these girls understand from this day to a film about what they suffered. And I knew that all of us, we have seen too many films showing sex, and this was not necessarily very, very, very relevant for the film.
Right.
It's much more stronger and powerful this way. And I decided from the beginning that we're not going to show more than this. While I wanted to show the procedure of abortion itself, because this is something that even the most liberal people living during that period couldn't imagine in detail. So it was a very personal experience that women had. And this is why by the end of the period, they tend to be less in favor of abortions than men.
Right.
Because they had a different experience.
I was going to ask the... I was told as I came in here that you made a documentary about the showing of this film in Romania called Caravan?
Actually, I organized the caravan.
Right.
What I did is like this.
Is that the name of the film, though?
I don't know what's the name of the film. It's being edited while I'm here. But what happened was like this. It was a very popular award, this Palme d'Or, and people back home were so glad that we got this. So they acted a little bit like in football. Mm. People cheered and got on the streets, and I got this medal from the president and the key to my hometown. So all of a sudden, it was something that was way more popular than I ever imagined. But
more
yet,
than Lazarus Rescue.
Way more, and it went way better in the terms of public audience and response.
Right.
But there are only 35 theaters left in Romania in a country of 20 million people. So I knew from the beginning...
Did you say 25 or 35?
35. It doesn't make a difference. It's 20 million people. So 25 or 35, it's pretty much the same
thing. Did they close during the Ceausescu era?
No, it's the other way around. We have 400 theaters by the end of the communist times.
Yes.
But because this is one of the few things which were not privatized or sold to private people on time, and because the state is a very poor manager, they are in the same technical state as in the 60s.
Right.
So people just, gave up going to this kind of theaters.
Right.
So I wanted to screen this film to as many people as possible because it was that popular. And then I decided to release this film myself in Romania, and I took advantage of this moment where I am right now, and I could afford, because of this small notoriety that I got, to bring in some very strong partners, and I organized a caravan that toured Romania and screened this film on 35 to the big towns that don't have any theater left, just to point out that people would want to come and see cinema, but they don't have where.
Right.
So it's up for the state to do something from this moment on.
So So did you do it in auditoriums, gymnasiums, any large
place? I did it in some big halls, but not necessarily destined for cinemas. Mm. I brought all the techniques from Germany, big screens and two trucks full of equipment and Dolby surround, just to be to have the opportunity to show this, the film in the best possible conditions. And this, I think we were touring some 15 towns in a period of 30 days. And finally, it was a great response from the audience. And I decided to produce a documentary in connection with this experience and this caravan, just to see how people react to cinema as a novelty in the 21st century, because, you know, there were lots of young people never going to cinema before.
Yeah.
Because if they are 20 and cinemas were closed some 10 or 15 years ago, they would never see a big film on screen, you know?
Is there a big black market for DVDs?
It's a black market for films downloaded illegally on the internet. This is the problem, that people are very fond of seeing films, but not necessarily paying for seeing them.
So they go to piratebay.org and those places?
I don't know. I don't know precisely because I'm not familiar with doing this.
In China, they actually sell DVDs on the street. But so people don't do that in Romania?
Something like this a few years before, but now we're part of European Union and they're trying to impose more all these laws about rights and what's legal to sell and what's not. But still in some remote parts of the country, you can still buy some DVDs which are not necessarily carrying all the rights.
Euro the currency then?
Not yet. It's going to become in a few years, but everybody expresses everything in euros pretty much. And finally, the result of having screened this film like this in Romania is that it became the most popular film of the year. And we have nearly twice as many admissions as the best American film on the market, which is, you know, unbelievable for such a film.
It's by the way, I want to just take shots while doing it, that's okay. My thought as I was watching it the first time was, your film visually, not the handheld stuff, but your film visually reminded me of Mike Nichols' Carnal Knowledge. Did you ever see that?
It was a film from the 70s, if I remember well.
Yeah. For Nichols has two phases, and one is the first phase, The Graduate.
Yeah.
Carnal Knowledge, Catch-22.
I liked Catch-22 a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they're very carefully composed. You know what I'm talking about.
One of the films that,
the elaborate choreography of some of those scenes.
Yeah.
Fantastic, right? But they are, the Carnal Knowledge in particular is known for the hallmark of holding a shot widescreen and people will sit down or a woman will be talking to somebody who's off screen. And you don't ever see the person, but it's all about her face. And I just thought, gee, that's kind of a... Had you or your DP ever talked about that film in any...
Not in particular, not about that film. What I'm trying to do is, you know, to be very coherent with the style and relate this to the story. Mm. And know if I choose something in the style, why am I doing this and what's going to be the purpose of this decision of ours on the story. And the whole purpose of the style that you see in the film was that we wanted to not to use this kind of formal means that you're having as a filmmaker, and we wanted as much as possible to say the story in a very simple way which wouldn't make us noticeable as writers and storytellers. And this is why we decided to go for these long takes and to allow the camera to witness the situation without any kind of comment, so that the spectators will have this feeling that they are present over there and they see this kind of emotion developing in front of them without having somebody pointing out to what's more important by, I don't know, having the camera facing something. And the other thing is that we decided not to use this formal means that you have as a cinematographer, which is music is a decision that belongs to you. It's not necessarily from the film. It belongs to you as an author. So we decided that we don't necessarily need music for this film to tell the story. And then we decided that even, I don't know, tilting the camera to see somebody speaking, it's a decision that belongs to you. It doesn't necessarily come natural. So what we wanted to signal out with this way of allowing people of talking very much from off camera and standing and not having their shots in the camera is that there's a way bigger story than what we show on screen. And this is why we decided to start the film in the middle of a very important conversation, which is not in the film, about what's going to happen today, and to cut the film in the middle of a gesture and of a sound, just to point out that this is a fragment, and it's up to you as a spectator to place everything together by the end of it and see what the whole picture is.
Are you going to attend the AFI thing after for a little chat, or are you going to talk to the audience?
Sure, absolutely, sure. I think that for both the screenings, I'm going to be there and talk to the people afterwards, sure.
Are either of the two actresses ever going to come to this country to talk about the film?
They have been. Ana Maria, who plays Otilia, has been already during the New York Film Festival. And I think she had a couple of Q&As, and she's going to get back for the Tribeca Film Festival because at the same time with Tribeca, there's this Romanian Film Week in New York.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So she's going to be there and talk again with the audience.
You know, it's funny. I have a dislike of the visual style of the Robert Redford film, which showed
one?
Last night. It's called Lions for Lamps.
Okay, I'd like
it's
to see it.
It's overlit, and it just doesn't... It's all about, it's basically, it's static. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just people talking.
Yeah.
And it's cutting back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And I was just thinking, as we were sitting here, that if he had shot his film, which is just talk, in your fashion, like that, on some level,
but
I would have found it much more visually, even though you're not lighting it for beauty or sophistication.
No.
You're lighting it for a kind of emotional honesty and natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's very, very, very seductive. And agreeable to watch your film, and it was utterly the opposite.
It's not very simple to use this style because, you know, it's about very long conversations, but we tried a lot to have a kind of a rigor and structure in the way we shot the film. And although you can't get it from seeing the film for the first time, it's really not important for a regular spectator. All the shots in the film are, you know, flat on the subject, and every two consecutive shots are perpendicular on one to the other, and we never cut to come closer to anything. It's always like this, and it gives a sense of order to the film, and it's easier to follow, and it brings attention. But I have to say that I like Robert Redford's early films as a director, so
I
thought he is honest, and there's a strength in it.
You're going to do, I read, a kind of a trilogy about the Ceausescu years, this being the first one. Is that still the case?
It's still the case, but it's going to be continued with two very different films, because this started initially as a series of shorts. So the other two films are going to place together some six stories of 30 minutes each in two different films. Because I directed this one, I decided to open the rest of the project for a younger generation of Romanian directors. So it's going to be like an omnibus film, having six different points of view. Everybody will direct a different episode.
Of the same story or different?
No, it's different stories, but they are connected in two ways. They all happen during the same period, and they all have the same narrative pattern, which is to say, they start from the urban legends of the period. And it's a way of, you know, talking about the small, sometimes, if you want, comical effects on people of a grand dictatorship. And, you know, the more the dictatorship was taking itself seriously, the more comical effect it would produce on people.
I didn't ask you about the documentary, which we'll call Caravan for lack of a better title. When you said you're editing that as we speak?
I think it was finished yesterday night. I've seen a rough cut before I left, and I think
there's any way that you can.
Yes, it's going to be
like
here on.
It's
going to be here on Monday, I think.
It is going to be here.
Yes. So today.
What do you mean? It's going to be on DVD or something? Or?
Yes, on DVD or mini DV, I don't know. But anyway, I told them that as soon as they finish this smooth editing, I just saw a rough cut before I left.
Right.
They're going to send it here, so Fidel is going to have it on Monday, I think.
So there's something I could look at?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
yes,
that's great.
Yes.
Do you think you might put it on the DVD?
I will. For sure it's going to be a bonus on my DVD in Romania. If somebody else is going to use it, I don't know, it's up to them. But I'm going to deliver this as one of the materials, because it speaks not only about the reaction people had to the film, which is also very emotional to see, but it speaks also about their reaction to seeing film on screen, And it also speaks about something very nice, how cinema is such an international language that these German technicians would be able to communicate with the Romanian ones without sharing any other language but the language of cinema.
You know, it's funny, this is a perverse side thing, but I got into wanting to find the original videos of Ceausescu and his wife being tried and executed. Weren't there actual shot a video of them being shot?
Yes, it was a video of them being shot, but...
I never saw that.
You never saw that?
And I can't find it for love nor money on the internet.
It kind of starts in the last second because people... You know, it was a very tense atmosphere, and you have on video, I think you've seen this, you have on video the moment when they tie their hands, and then you have just the effect of people shooting them. Yeah. The actual moment when they shot is not on tape, because eventually somebody shot out of, you know, anxiety, and they weren't given the proper kind of signal of, I don't know, prepare and shoot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was all in this kind of very tense atmosphere because they feared somehow that people would come and try to rescue them from there. So everything was made in a hurry. So all you can get now is this kind of original film.
Have you ever seen a...
But by the way, somebody is producing a film about this documentary.
Really? That's exactly what I was going to say. Is there a good documentary that you've ever seen or heard of?
There were lots of documentaries about this, and we are even planning of making one, especially about his last 48 hours.
A film?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
A documentary. Or, I don't know if it's going to look like a docudrama or it's just going to be with the documents from that period, because actually I talked to somebody that wrote a book about this and spoke to lots of people, and there are a lot of things which are not known. And a lot of very dramatical aspects which nobody really knows today. Mm-hmm. After they were shot, everybody just lost track of them for some 6 hours because their bodies were so hot that nobody wanted to have them. So somebody just brought them by helicopter from that place 200 kilometers up north Bucharest to a stadium in Bucharest. And he was supposed to meet somebody there in the middle of the night and pass these bodies, but there was nobody over there. So he just left the bodies and fly around. And for 6 hours, nobody knew where these bodies were. And this is why people are still speculating today that actually the people which were buried in the cemetery are not necessarily Ceausescu brothers.
So again, the film that you're thinking of maybe making, The Last 48 Hours, would be something that simulates a docudrama, but wouldn't actually be? Would be acted?
It would be a blend of acting and using the kind of footage that we can still find, because it's interesting to see what happened in the central committee of the party and how such a strong dictatorship with such a strong secret police just collapsed in 5 minutes when somebody shouted something in the public market in Bucharest.
What was the term for the Stasi of Romania? Was there
Securitate.
Securitate.
A little bit like security, if you want.
Were they as notoriously ugly as
Stasi? They were way bad than Stasi. It was the worst secret police in Eastern Europe. They were inventing something in the 50s, which no other Eastern European country had, which is a way of turning political prisoners into re-educating the other prisoners. So they were trying to literally brainwash them and using this kind of very harsh prisons for years and years and torture them as much to make them the reformers of the other prisoners, which is, I don't know, and there were so many people that died during this period.
What did you think of The Lives of Others? Did you see
it? I haven't seen the film yet. I need to see.
I was in my honeymoon in 87.
Wow.
We went to only Eastern Europe because we wanted to get away from McDonald's in Western Europe and everything.
Yeah.
Got married in Paris. And we tried to get a hotel room in Prague. Mm-hmm. And they would not let us have a hotel room because we were only two people. Mm-hmm. They had plenty of hotel rooms for six people.
I know.
And I recognized that same attitude.
Yes.
And that was very...
They were trying, first of all the time to sell you the things which were not sellable.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted a two-person hotel room.
Yeah.
And for example, this is a very side effect of what we experienced. But by the end of communism, you couldn't buy the books that you wanted from the bookshop, because everybody just wanted to buy this and not to buy the kind of propaganda books that they were making. So you couldn't buy books by the book. You had to buy a package of books, which was already from the beginning, carrying four or five books which weren't selling, together with one book that you needed to buy. This is funny. How things were going.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe I'll see you at the other three.
I will go for
I'm
sure.
I'm going to be there and
sure,
see you again.
Sure, I'll go there. I have the screen
afterwards. And I hope your film wins the Oscar.
Well, for the moment, we enjoy what we achieved with it so far, and hopefully we're going to have a good response here.
Yeah. Okay, man.
Thanks.
Very nice to speak to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Be well.